Joe Wesley, come on up. As I said last Sunday, as I said earlier today, last Sunday was so special. And a number of us left swelled with pride. And today it's another group's turn, as Joel Wesley's family, I know, is proud of him. But we still claim him as our own also. So we trained you up as a child some too. So we're going to take a little of the credit. But we are glad to have you with us today. I know your parents, Dr. and Ms. Boatwright, I know they're proud of you. And your grandmother, Bev, must be about to bust. And your aunts and uncles, I know, are proud of you, and we are too. Please come up and share with us this morning.
If you guys will open to Mark chapter 3, verse 23, that's where we're going to be spending the service. Jesus says, and he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house." So I was at school one day, and I was at my locker. And next to me was one of my friends. His name's Colin. He just seemed very distressed, unable. He was shaking and talking to himself. And I said, "Colin, what's wrong?" He said, "Global warming and the economy." And I said, "Well, okay, well, maybe you don't need to be so worried about that." But he had already assumed a position of fear and nervousness and stress, but when he was asked what was the matter, he couldn't really define it. I think that a lot of us do that sometimes, maybe not to that extent, but we go ahead and live under the assumption that, you know, there's something to be afraid of or something to be stressed out over. In Mark 3:27, Jesus describes Satan as a strong man, which is a fitting description. It doesn't take much to believe that. You just read the news or hear one of his lies shows his power and influence. If Jesus only called Satan the strong man in that passage, then there'd be things to be afraid of. But thankfully, he didn't stop there. He goes on. After calling Satan the strong man, Jesus says that he enters the strong man's house, binds him, and robs his house. Satan may be the strong man, but Jesus is stronger. Now, when I read this, I asked, is it ethical for Jesus to rob someone? But I realized I was asking the wrong question. What was Jesus robbing? Right before this passage, Jesus had been driving out demons from possessed men, and he had said this parable in rebuttal of accusations of driving out demons by the power of demons. It makes sense, then, that our souls are what Jesus came to steal from Satan. God being the creator of all things, we are rightfully his. So if Jesus came in love and compassion to save us, will he not in the same love and compassion keep us saved? Therefore, we do not have to worry or be afraid of the world and demonic forces, because even if Satan is strong, Jesus is stronger. So what does this all mean for us in the long run? If I boil that down to one sentence, what would that sentence be? The answer might be taken for granted, or it might be cliché. But as Christians, one of the most important things we can know is this. Satan is defeated. This is not something he wants you to know. He'll do everything in his power to keep you from believing that. Because a church believing that the devil is lost and Jesus has overcome is a dangerous church. There's nothing keeping us from finishing the work that Jesus began when we believe that. And what was the work that Jesus began? To free the captives from Mark 3:27. Jesus has already made the way for us to be free, but now he has tasked us with telling all the captives of the earth that they can be freed. However, these are no ordinary captives. In fact, non-believers are the strangest kind of captive. They are voluntarily enslaved. Voluntary enslavement would kind of be like the U.S. asking Europe to make us their colony again, or Russia wishing Joseph Stalin was still alive, or pinning another 4 years on Obama. But it is in our human nature, and without divine guidance, we can't help it. We sin, fully aware of the wrongness we are doing. Even Christians will make decisions we know are not right. When we do this, we make ourselves fall under the oppression of the devil, and we must repent and get forgiveness. However, forgiveness is not something someone can have without first accepting the sacrifice of Jesus. It is our job to tell everyone that forgiveness is attainable and our sinful nature can be healed. Going back to the idea of voluntary captivity, the only way for Satan to take our salvation is if we let him have it. The devil only has as much power as we give him. Satan can't force anything on us anymore. Same is true for God. Obviously, God has more power than anyone could ever give him, and he can force anything on anyone if he wants it, but he won't. Forcing freedom on someone defeats the purpose of liberating them in the first place. That's why Jesus has commanded us in Matthew 28:18-20, to go and spread the good news, baptizing those who believe. But church, no one will believe if we are not united in our efforts. Mark 3:23-26 says that a kingdom can't stand against itself. That scripture is talking about the kingdom of Satan, but why can't the same be said about the kingdom of God? Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The kingdom of God already has victory over Satan, but when we are divided, at what expense does that victory come? Countless souls lost to hell forever. Today, it is more important for the church than ever to stand united. In a world where no one can agree on anything, why would an unbeliever want to be a part of a church that's no different from everyone else? When the world quivers in fear over increasing number of terrorist attacks across the world, you don't have to be afraid as well. When your coworkers are disheartened over Satan's apparent control over their circumstances, you can give them a good reason to take heart. When the world tries to convince you that it's every man for himself, you can be the one helping the captives free. When tensions are high between all groups of people, we can be the ones focused on peace and unity. Thank you, church, and have a great Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I almost forgot one of the most important things, the prayer. Please bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Dear Lord, be with us throughout this week. Help us to be brave. Help us to be united. Give us the guidance of the Spirit. Be with us, Lord. Help us to do what's right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.